This is a podcast from RNIB's Insight Radio.
Last year on Insight Radio, we looked at a piece of research which had been produced by Loughborough University and the Thomas Pocklington Trust. It was looking at the extra costs financially associated with sight loss. Well, there has been more research carried out by the university, and we have with us Catherine Hill to tell us a little bit more. Catherine, the research itself, does it positively show that if someone has sight loss, then the cost of living is going to increase?
Yes, it does. Yes. The initial research we did with people who are a working age and sight impaired, who have some usable sight, and that showed that the extra costs were around £49 extra on top of the minimum weekly budget for someone without sight loss. Now, that was a good start, but what we did is we've looked now further at how cost of living for people with sight loss vary by severity of impairment and also by age. And we found now that there are even more costs in both these circumstances.
What sort of figures are we looking at then? I take it you looked at different age ranges then, or is it people in employment or unemployed?
We've had two different sets of circumstances now. So the first one was with people who are working age, and instead of looking at people who are sight impaired with some usable sight, we've looked at people who are severely sight impaired, so have little or no sight, to see what difference it makes as to the severity of impairment. And we've found that the extra cost here is actually £116 per week, which is 60% more than the main budget for someone without sight loss, and it's more than actually twice as much as the £49 in the previous study for somebody the same age but who was sight impaired rather than severely sight impaired.
That's quite a difference
in
terms of even a weekly amount.
Yes. Similarly, we looked at age, because the first study was with somebody who was sight impaired but of working age. We also wanted to see if age makes a difference, and indeed it did. So somebody of pension age who is sight impaired faces an extra cost of £75 a week, which is around 41% more than for a pension age person without sight impairment. And that is around 50% more than the person of working age with the same level of impairment. So it's showing that there are differences and increased costs for people by age and by severity of impairment.
So when we talk about these extra costs, what are they made up of?
Well, that's the interesting thing. We know that living with vision impairment can be expensive, but this research, as well as providing the figures, it provides background information about how the costs are made up. And it's important because it's not just things that might be obvious, so it highlights a range of groups. So from help in the home, to transport, to technology, to maintaining a social life. As with the first study, what's come out of this research, the things that people who are vision impaired agreed are important are about more than just sort of aids or equipment, things that directly address the sight loss.
So could we be looking at things, say you mentioned a social life, so we're looking at, you know, really ending isolation, people getting out and mixing with friends and relatives and so on, because, you know, that has an impact on people's health and well-being.
Exactly, yes. And that was something that was important to people. And there are things that where there were differences and things where there are similarities in terms of the differences with age or severity. Social activities was one of these things. For people of working age who are severely sight impaired, the additional costs increase more for this group to allow for more specialist activities and particularly to cover this greater risk of isolation for somebody with little or no sight. But similarly, isolation was also very relevant to people of pension age who've acquired sight loss later in their lives. And they emphasise the emotional stress of becoming sight impaired. And for them, the importance of information and support from sight loss organisations. And this, in terms of cost, added to social life, but transport costs, so for getting to groups and getting to places where they could meet other people.
Catherine, you mentioned working aged. So are we primarily looking at people who could be working, but we're not specifically looking at those who are employed?
Yeah, this isn't about whether someone's working or not. It's what anybody who is of working age would need for a minimum acceptable standard of living. And that means, when we say minimum acceptable standard of living, it means more than just your basic survival. It means being able to have the opportunities and choices to participate in society, which would include being able to go to work. So the transport one would need to get to be able to get to work. For somebody who's visually impaired, that might mean having a taxi, for example, or a higher travel cost than for people who are not visually impaired.
This follows on from research carried out last year. Will this continue on again? Is there another demographic to look at, or will there be conclusions drawn from this to try and address that lack of funding?
In terms of following up research, we're hoping that Pocklington would continue to fund, and there's one area that's missing, which is what are the needs of somebody who is of pension age but who is also severely sight impaired. So it's hit both ways that we've looked at, where we found there's extra costs for more severe sight impairment, extra costs the older you are, but what happens if both of those go together? Because we are aware that older people are one of the groups that are most represented in people who are visually impaired.
It's an interesting point that you're making, and especially quite relevant at the moment, because the government are looking to make changes in the welfare budget, which would take away some funding. I think it's around £30 a week from people on employment and support allowance. So again, we're looking at working age people not in employment, and some possible changes to personal independence payment, which could see blind and partially sighted people on that particular benefit losing out up to £200 a month. So this is really coming in at quite a crucial time.
It is, yes. The findings, we've said, we haven't compared it directly to if someone is eligible for personal independence payment, PIP, or indeed attendance allowance for older people. What we have noted is that if people were eligible for these benefits, which are recognised as to cover additional costs, then they would need to be made at the higher level in order to cover or come close to the findings that we've made.
Catherine, if people would like any more information on this, or to look closer at some of the findings, where can they go for more information?
Well, the report is published by Pocklington Trust. The report is on our website. It's in a PDF and in a Word format. And the address for our website is www.crisp.ac.uk/news. You could phone our office for a hard copy, which is 01509 223618. Pocklington will also have it available in alternative formats if anybody wanted to contact them on 020 8995 0880.
Catherine Hill, thank you for speaking with us on Insight Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from RNIB's Insight Radio. For more podcasts, check out insightradio.co.uk.